This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حفرة تحتوي ويسلم فيها الحبيب الحبيب
أول المرأة تعجبه نفسه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عليه أفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم. Welcome brothers and sisters in Islam and dear friends to our series of lectures on the journey to the hereafter. Today بإذن الله we'll be tackling the question of the two blowing of the next two blowings of the horns. Last episode we dealt with the issue of the first blowing of the horn. We described the horn, we talked about Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam, the angel that has been given the task of blowing the horn, and we spoke about the destruction that will happen to the earth and the creation when the horn is actually blown. Today inshallah we want to talk about the next two blowing. Now after the first horn has been blown and all the destruction has taken place, and we had taken an example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy every single thing faster than we can even drink a glass of water. Thereafter there will be a period of wait, roughly about 40. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how long that will be. We don't know. All we know is there will be a period of 40, whether that's 40 hours or days or months, years, centuries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. In that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angel of death to take away the souls of all the remaining angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angel of death to take the souls of the Hur al-Ain in paradise, the people who have entered paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angel to take the souls of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, of Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam, the great angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then also by himself take the soul of the angel of death himself. And at that point there will be no one left on the face of this earth. No one left on this earth. There will be no earth. There was no destruction. Everything has been folded up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything will be in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ. And in another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they don't estimate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the proper estimation. They don't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the correct estimation. And he says, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. They don't give Allah the true estimation. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَضْبَطُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the earth in its entirety, the lands and the planets in its entirety will be in his grip on the day of judgment. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ فِي بِيَمِينِهِ. And the heavens and the galaxies and the universe will all be folded up in his right hand. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifun. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what they associate in partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that point, when all of creation is folded up in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask and he will call out, as in the authentic hadith, he will say, where are the kings today? Where are the kings? I am the king. Limanil mulku al-yawm. For who is the authority and power and dominion today? Limanil mulku al-yawm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause a voice to say, Lillahi al-wahidul qahhar. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wahid, the only one, the qahhar, the mighty, the powerful. Yani subhanallah, does this verse not cause the people who cause a dhulm and oppression on this earth to flow, and those who are engrossed in oppression of people, such as those people who are engrossed in oppressing prisoners in prisons, and those who are harming Muslim prisoners in their prisons, do they not fear this verse that surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day will say, where are the kings today? I am the king today. Where are the kings? Show me these kings. Today there is no king. Today there is no mulk. There is no power and authority except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam and my dear friends, do not think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take the people who are oppressing innocent people into account. Do not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take these people who in their greed and in their power and in their oppression, they are oppressing people who do not have the power to defend themselves, who do not have the power to look after their own rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely take them into account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al Imran in chapter number 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Verily, O people, do not ever think for one instant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgotten or has overlooked what the dhalimeen, what the oppressors are doing. Verily, He is only leaving them for a day in which the eyes will stare in terror, in which the eyes and the eyesight will be fixed in terror of that day. Subhanallah, this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees a dhulm happening on this earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most patient of anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most patient of all beings. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees dhulm happening on this earth, He has a statement that He makes to Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something to Himself. What does He say? He says, bi'izzati wa jalali, or wa'izzati wa jalali, by my izzah, by my honor and my glory and my right, my power and my glory and my honor, لَأَنْصُرُنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَهِينَ. I will surely help you, O people who are oppressed. I will surely help you because there is no hijab, there is no barrier between your dua and mine. And I am the honored one. I am the one who is glorified. I am the one who is just. I will surely take the zalimeen, these oppressors, to account for the dhulm that they are doing, for the people who are oppressing Muslims in prisons, for people who are killing Muslims, for people who are overtaking Muslim land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely take oppressors to account. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not forgotten the zalimeen, those people who oppress and think that the oppression has been forgotten by people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in that verse, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعَدِهِ رُسُولَهُ. And do not ever think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forget, or He will overlook, or He will not fulfill the oath that He has made to His Rusul, to His prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely aid His prophets. Don't ever think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not fulfill the oath that He has already made to us. Inna Allah Aziz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honorable. He fulfills His oaths and His contracts. Dhuntiqam, the one who is fast in taking retribution, the one who is fast, Sari'ul Hisab, the one who is fast in taking people to account and taking oppressors to account. So may this verse and may this incident be a lasting reminder to all who wish to oppress people who are innocent, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, those who love to war and wage war, those who say that they are emperors and conquerors just because they kill a million, so they are called emperors, whereas if you kill one person or two, you're called a murderer. Those people who write the books of history, those warring nations who print books of history in their presses, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have forgotten them because they have rubbed all their atrocities and their harm and their war crimes from the books of history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely take them into account on that day in which there is no pride and power, no dominion, no might except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, my brothers and sisters in Islam, my dear friends, the next question that must be truly asked is that, is there a resurrection and will there be a resurrection? We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that there will be a resurrection. The question that we really need to ask is, how much do we truly believe in our hearts that there will be a resurrection? How certain are we in our iman and in our own depth of our bodies and in the deepest part of our hearts? How certain are we that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely gather us together? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us and He says, La ilaha illa hu. There is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yajma'annakum, He will surely gather you all together. Fi liyawmi al-qiyamati la rayba fi, to a day of judgment in which there is no doubt. There is no God but He. He will surely gather you all onto a day of judgment on which there is absolutely no doubt. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in that very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith al-Qudsi, which is reported in Musnad Imam Ahmed, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at his left hand, and then in front of the companions, he spit into his left hand. he spit, he put some spit and saliva into his left hand. Then with his finger, he took a little bit of the spit and he looked, he pointed it up like this and he said, and Allah says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he's reporting, narrating what Allah says. He says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ, Allah says, يَا إِبْنَ آدَمْ, O son of Adam, أَنَّا تُعْجِزُنِي وَدْخَلَقْتُكَ مِنْ مِثْلِ هَذَا. How do you think that you are beyond my control, beyond my power, beyond my ability when I created you from something as simple and as insignificant as this little bit of saliva? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from semen. And so it is insignificant in the grand scale of things, in the scale of the creation and the universe and the heavens. So how do we think, oh mankind, people who are, you know, with a little bit of wisdom, with a little bit of knowledge, we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we are beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. We are beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us from something as simple, as minuscule, as insignificant, as saliva, as semen, subhanallah. So thereafter, I'd like to read to you a portion in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells people who doubt about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recreate, to ponder about this verse and about these verses. And this verse, if you want to go back to it, inshallah, is in Surah Baqarah, and it's verse number 259 and 260. I want you to go back and ponder about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that enter into your heart that truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us. And Allah says in the Quran, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَى قَرْيَةٍ, and by the majority of the mufassirin, the scholars of tafsir of the Quran, explanation of the Quran, they say that this verse was revealed regarding a man by the name of Uzair. And this man, he was passing by the ruins in Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem at that time. There were ruins, there were no people at that time. So he's passing by with his donkey through the ruins of Jerusalem at that time. And he looked around at the ruins and said, Subhanallah, how will Allah recreate this after its destruction? How will Allah recreate this after time has taken its toll on this place and all the people have died and they have become bones? So he said, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَى قَرْيَةٍ, and take the example of the person who passed by this village. وهي خاوية على عروشها, and it had been in ruins and the dwellings have been destroyed. قال أن يحي هذه الله بعد موتها, how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recreate this after its death? So فأماته الله مئة عام, so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to die for 100 years. ثم بعث, then thereafter caused him to be alive and resurrected once again. قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْ, then he sent an angel to this man and he said, how long have you been asleep? And Uzair, this man, he said, قَالَ لَبِثْتُ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْدَ يَوْمٍ, say, I have been sleeping or have been alive perhaps a day or half a day. And then the angel said, بَلْ لَبِثْتَ مِئَةَ عَامٍ, rather you have been sleeping for 100 years. فَانْظُرْ إِلَى طَعَامِكَ لَمْ يَتَسَنَّ, you have been sleeping for 100 years, but look at the power of Allah and look at your food that you had left there while you're about to eat and you had died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still did not cause the food to go off, as a reminder to you. وَانْظُرْ إِلَى حِمَارِكَ, and then now look at your donkey. So the food which usually gets bad within an hour or two or a day, it has not gone bad for a whole 100 years, one century. But have a look at your donkey. A donkey who can survive for tens of years has died. فَانْظُرْ إِلَى حِمَارِكَ وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ, and that so that we may make you a sign for the people. So look at your donkey and the donkey has died. And so this is the contrast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing how He can preserve something and how He can destroy something which people think can last longer. فَانْظُرْ إِلَى حِمَارِكَ وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ, look at the donkey so that we may make it an example for you. وَانْظُرْ إِلَى الْعِظَامِ كَيْفَ نَنْشِزُهَا ثُمَّ نَكْسُوهَا لَحْمًا فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ قَالَ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and look at the bones, how we clothe it with flesh and how we put blood and the veins back into it. And so in front of his eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the bones of the donkey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recreated the whole donkey in front of his eyes and then gave it back life to the donkey. And then at that point when the donkey got up and back into life, subhanallah, recreated from the bones, at that point the man said, A'lamu, now surely I know from the depth of my heart, أن الله على كل شيء قدير, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful and able to do all things. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيَحْسَبُ النَّاسِ, does mankind think, أَلَّا نَجْمَ عِظَامَ, that we will not gather his bones and give him back life? بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا, rather we are able to even perfect the tip of his fingers. Tip of our fingers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to put him back. And the tip of the fingers, as we know, is unique to each mankind and each human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to this miracle in the Quran when Arabs did not ever know that everyone's fingerprints were actually unique to each other's, as unique as each other's DNA. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to this miracle in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely able to put everything back, even to the tip of our fingers. At that point, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that same surah, he continues in that surah Baqarah in the verse number 260, he continues and gives the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was of course an ummah by himself, a person who had so much tremendous iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability and power and might and authority. However, he wanted to put his heart to rest. Just like sometimes ourselves, you know, we believe in Allah, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, we know that He will take us to account, but sometimes we need reminders. This is why we should go back to the Quran periodically. We should listen to lessons, even though we might know it, but let's listen to it again so that perhaps someone's reminder might truly affect us. This is why we know we will die, however Rasulullah still said, go to the graves so that you may remind yourselves. So we need this periodic reminder and we need our heart to be settled. So in the same way, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam required and wanted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give peace and tranquility to his heart. So he said in the surah, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي, he said, when Ibrahim said, oh my Lord, أرني كيف تحيي الموتى, please my Lord, show me how you put life back into dead, or how do you resurrect something after it has died. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, Ya Ibrahim, awala tu'min, and Allah knows that he believes. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to ask him and show the people, clarify to the people later on, because he would be quoting Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, why is it that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam wanted that sign? At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَا تُؤْمِنُ, don't you believe, Ya Ibrahim? And Ibrahim says, بَلَا, of course I do, my Lord. You know that I believe in you. And you know that, and you trust me, and you made me a prophet because of that. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَعِنَّ قَلْبِي, however, so that my heart may be put to rest. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is an amazing thing, if you read the tafsir of this verse, and if you go back to Ibn Kathir's tafsir, you'll be amazed at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to do, and what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim, put a part of the... take four birds, فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ, take four birds, فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ, so then tame them and make them like you, make them recognize you, make them want to come back to you. So once Ibrahim a.s. had done that, then Allah gave him the test, a small test before the large test. The smaller test was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the people, wanted Ibrahim alayhi salam to then kill these birds and then cut them up into pieces before, of course, the next test that Allah would give Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is to actually ask Ibrahim alayhi salam to slaughter his son, at which, of course, Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we know in the surah in Saffat, Ibrahim alayhi salam succeeded from that test. However, in this test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to actually, by the way, don't think that Ibrahim actually slaughtered his son. No, he actually slaughtered a sheep from Jannah, and of course this is why we Muslims slaughter on the day of Eid al-Adha. Coming back to the topic, Ibrahim was then asked to cut the birds and then put all the birds, parts of the birds, onto different places. And so when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam put the birds onto the different mountains and the different jabal, as Allah says, ثُمَّ جَعَلَ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا, and then put on each different mountain a part of the birds, ثُمَّ دُعُهُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيَ. Then call upon them, call and ask the birds to come back to you, and they will rush back to you, and they will become formed as a whole bird in front of you, and then you will truly understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Aziz al-Hakim, is the most knowledgeable, the most wise, the one who is able to do exactly what he promises, exactly what he says. So in the tafsir it mentions that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam called the birds to come back to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he called them, and he tried to put a parrot's beak with the beak for a sparrow, the part of the bird would not want to go back to a different part. So if he wanted the head of the bird number one to give to the body of the bird number two, they would not want to come together, and that the body would still search for its own head, and that it would go back only to its own head. And this is one of the most amazing things, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not gather us up only or resurrect us. He will put us back perfectly, exactly as we have been created, exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to create us, subhanahu khaliq al-azim. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I want you to remind yourself constantly about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us. Thereafter, after the first blowing of the horn, and Allah will talk about this, Allah will of course cause Israfil to be raised up again, and then He will ask Israfil to blow into the horn the second time, after which people will then become alive, or they will waken from their slumber, and then the third blowing of the horn, at which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam to actually blow into the horn again the third time, at which time everything will become recreated. I want to give you some examples of what will happen when the third blowing of the horn happens. When the third blowing of the horn happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have recreated all of creation. And the earth will be a different earth, and the sky will be a different sky. Until we say, Allah says in the Quran, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرُ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَوَاتِ. When the earth has been changed into a different earth, and the heavens as well. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions in the tafsir of this verse, that the sky will be mulawwan, will be multicolored. So it will be constantly changing. It will be at one minute it will be purple, another minute orange, another minute red, another minute white, another minute blue, another minute red. So it will constantly keep on changing. And this is the sky of the Day of Judgment. Also, the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates on that day will be an amazing earth as well. Because as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Bukhari mentions, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause people to come up. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ أَرْضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect people upon a earth. That he said the following words, is bayda afra ka kursatun naqi. It is white, intensely white, ka kursatun naqi, like the finely polished silver plate. So such is the whiteness of the ground, finely polished silver. So the whiteness of the silver and the shininess of the silver is exactly how the earth will be on that day. Also, the companions mentioned, the same companions who narrated this hadith mentioned, that there won't be any stones or any ma'alim, any indications, no roadblocks, no indications, no directions, etc. Everything will be completely white and completely plain. And also in another narration, it also mentions that it will be as white as daqiq, as white as the whiteness of the flour, the wheat and the wheat flour, the rice flour that we have, as white as that flour on that day. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause on that day the sun to have been brought close to the people. And on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the sun or another sun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best which sun it is. It is the sun that we have or another sun. And this is knowledge with Allah. He will cause that sun to be brought close to us. The qadra meal, as the narration mentions, or the distance of 1 meal. And a meal can have two meanings. Either 1 mile, the distance of 1 mile above our heads, or a meal which means the comb with which we comb our hair and our beards. And this is therefore just only 10 centimeters. So Allah subhanahu knows best how close the sun will be to our heads, but it will be that close. And of course, because of that, people will sweat tremendously. And inshallah, the description of how the people will come up and what their state will be, inshallah, we will come on that, inshallah, on the next episode. And remember, this is a preparation of the earth upon which Allah will cause everyone to come up. And this is the earth upon which we will all stand for 50,000 years. What a tremendous beginning, what a tremendous tremendous beginning to the day of judgment, to that last hour, and that the description of the resurrection will come up inshallah in our next episode bi'idhnillah. Until then, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our iman and our belief in the resurrection, and to make us pious Muslims by actually going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taking that as a reminder to come back to Him inshallah. Until the next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.